This week's showroom has been sponsored by family Grossman, Leila Nishmas, Reb Chaim Yosef, and Yisachadov, Zeche Livrocho.
Yud Menachemov, Wednesday the 10th of August, Rabbi Yosef Greenwald, The Spirit of Halacha, Business Unusual.
Good morning, everybody. The auspicious day on the Jewish calendar, Yud Av. The restrictions of the 3 weeks of the 9 days still apply. The far away Yerushalayim, the fires of the Beis HaMikdash that consumed the Beis HaMikdash are still burning until today, Chatzos. So in that spirit, when we resume regular life, yesterday was sort of a break in the middle of the year. A person goes about his daily business, but on Tisha B'Av everything stops. It's like an Avedus. We sit down on the floor and we remember that we're really far, far away from where we should be. Far away from the spirit of where we should be, far away from the physical proximity where we should be, the spiritual madrigas that we should be on. And as today we stand up and we get back into the regular business of living, and everybody goes about their daily routine, it's mechayev some type of reflection before we go back. And there's a pasuk in this week's parsha that very nicely captures what we're supposed to take with us from this special day of Tisha B'Av. Pasuk says, "Ve'osiso hayosho v'hatoyv." Parivov pasuk yudkets. "Ve'osiso hayosho v'hatoyv." Rashi refers to this pasuk, "Ve'osiso hayosho v'hatoyv." Bringing the Gemara, says that not only is a yid mechuyev to be mekayim all the halachos, ve'osiso es kol hamitzvos, es kol hachukim, es kol hamishpatim, asher anochi mitzavo yischol, but even "Ve'osiso hayosho v'hatoyv," this is the imperative that yid is mechuyev to be mekayim lefnim mishuras hadin. What exactly is Lefnim Yishuras Hadin? Lefnim Yishuras Hadin, in our mind, seems to be some type of Midas Chasidus that goes beyond what the Halacha requires. It's some type of Midas Chasidus which is left up to the discretion of every individual where they're holding and what they happen to be in the mood of in their dealings, both Benad L'Chaveri, both Benad L'Amokim. However, there are many places in Halacha where the Sisa Yoshev HaTov, the imperative of Lefnim Yishuras Hadin, Chazal made binding in a way which is enforceable in a bezdin. And there's a type of lefnim yishuras hadin which is does not relate to business, which is not part of chashim mishpat. I would like to speak about some of the halachos, the sisa yoshev atoy, that apply specifically to the business world. And again, I'm not going to speak about anything too barichus. I'm not going to delve into the halacha lemaisa mamish of any different area. Just a brief overview of where Chazal saw the imperative to be mechayiv, that every single one of us has to be mechayim the halachas of the Lefnim Yishuras Hadin. Maybe the most famous example, people know it, but the halachas are sometimes misconstrued. Again, I'm not going to paskin halacha l'maisim, but just to discuss in a general way, is the famous halacha of Dina de Bar Mitzvah. The Maran Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Ches says that the Bar Mitzvah literally means a neighbor. If Reuven and Shimon have adjacent fields, and Reuven wants to sell his field, and he finds a buyer, he is mechuyev to sell that field to Shimon before selling it to anybody else. Meaning to say, sometimes a person has a reason why he would want to sell it to one person. He's mechuyev to sell it to his neighbor. Why? Because the neighbor could then extend his field, and he could have a field that's twice as large, which is much more of a revach than if somebody from the outside buys that field. Now, I want to point out one very important underlying theme in anything we're going to discuss for the next few minutes. V'asis ha'yoshev ha'toiv, Chazal understand, is a mechayiv for a person to take somebody else into consideration. Lefnim Yishuras Hadin. But Chazal understood that there's no spirit of the law that's mechayiv me to give away from my own. That's tzedakah, that's chesed. To give away from my own, in order to do a mitzvah for somebody, is not something Chazal can be mechayev in a choshe mishpat tzedek. That's already gemilus chesodim. V'asisa yoshev ha'toyv means Chazal sometimes will mechayev me to give up something which is not mine, which is something maybe that I would have profited, a revach, a profit that I would have had. Chazal mechayev me to give up that profit in favor of somebody else who the yashrus might be mechayvet going to somebody else. So for instance, if Reuven has a field and he has a choice of buyers, he has either Shimon or he has Levi. Shimon is willing to pay X amount. Levi, who happens to be his next door neighbor, is only willing to pay less. Of course, Chazal did not take away a person's ability to sell his field to the highest bidder. That's pashut. What we're talking about is where the next door neighbor is willing to pay as much for that field. Again, today we might get involved in complicated shadows. What happens if the terms of payment are not the same? What happens if one person wants to pay staggered payments over a period of time, where I might be able to use that capital to invest? Would that be considered a loss to me if I don't have that capital because the payments will be staggered over the next 2 years? These are complicated shadows. We're not going to get into the problem, but just the klal. So Chazal v'mechayev giving the field to the next door neighbor. Again, what the definition of a next door neighbor is not so pashut. There's a Tosfos about Mitzidah Kupches, which would almost render this halacha not relevant bizman hazeh. Tosfos proposes b'shem Rabbeinu Tam that the halacha of dinah d'bametz is only by fields, because a field is generally, in those days, if you had a large field, you saved yourself so many expenses of drawing the water and the animals, etc., and the fencing, etc., etc., that over there was a significant loss to a person who wasn't able to extend his field. He would have to buy someplace else. But two homes, not. Bizman hazeh, that halacha would be almost relevant. We do not pass. In that way, these halachas are discussed in Chesh Mishpat, Simi Kufay, and hey, over there, we do not pass in Rabbeinu Tam. Dinah d'Bametzah is a reality, bizman hazeh. Where it's a reality is very often totally in different halachic issues, which are complicated. For instance, a simple example. A shal that's very often discussed. What happens if a person has an apartment on the first floor? This is more often in Yerushalayim, where I come from, where the apartments are in buildings, not so much in homes. In homes, it's less than that. But let's say if somebody has an apartment on the first floor of a building, and his next door neighbor would buy the apartment to extend his own apartment, there's somebody upstairs who would want to buy that also. Now, we would say that the next door neighbor comes first. You need to buy that, so the imperative is you have to sell it to your neighbor. In actuality, it's not so posh. Why? Because where there are two people that are neighbors, where there are two people that are shutvim, so to speak, in the same property, that would render both of them having the schus of bar mitzvah. Why would both of them be shutvim? Because very often, and I don't know how the land registry works over here in London, but in different areas, depending on the zoning laws of each place, in Yerushalayim, let's say, the ground underneath the building where a person lives belongs to everybody as a whole. The dira itself, the apartment itself, belongs to Reuven, but the ground underneath belongs to everybody in the building. In which case, everybody in the building is considered a shutif in that building. So for instance, Reuven has an apartment, and he has what they call in Yerushalayim a machsan next door. He has a small storage area. To be able to extend that, if he wants to sell that storage area, he doesn't need it anymore. There's somebody upstairs who wants to buy that storage area because he wants to make a small store in the building, selling novelty items, etc. The downstairs neighbor who lives on the ground floor would want to buy that apartment in order to extend his apartment to add another few bedrooms. Does the downstairs neighbor, because he's in physical proximity to that machzan, to that storage space, have precedence over the upstairs neighbor? It depends how you look at it. If you look at it in terms of the physical proximity, of course, the one who's downstairs has kedima, has precedence. As far as who owns the karka, if you look at everybody as owning the land underneath the entirety of the building, so then really everybody was a shutev, in which case the fellow who's living upstairs, he might be living six floors upstairs, but he still has as much right to that machsan, to that storage space downstairs, six floors down. This is a discussion in the Poskim. There's a Taz, there's a Tshuva Shoshanus Yaakov, one of the great Sephardi Poskim from 300 years ago. They debate this issue back and forth, where two people have dinah de bar mitzvah rights, but one maybe has a little bit more of a dinah de bar mitzvah. I'm just throwing this out as one scenario. Another scenario that's discussed in the poskim is whether there would be dinah de bar mitzvah in schivus, in a rental. If I rent my apartment to somebody, am I mechuyev to keep on renting him that apartment, even though there might be somebody that I would want to rent to more? Does he have precedence in that apartment because there's no bigger next door neighbor than the person who was living there for the last 5 years? If he's been living there 5 years, do I have to give him precedence? Of course, the right thing to do is to let somebody stay on. But if I have a reason why I want to rent it out, I want to rent it out to a first cousin of mine, and I don't need this tenant anymore. Do I have a right to do that? Not so partial. The place can say that there is dinah de bar mitzvah rights to a person who had preceding a person who lived in one place has the precedence to supersede anybody who would be coming into the apartment from the outside. Again, to the extent where this would cause a loss to the balabos, if it would be the rental would be for less money, then of course there's nothing to talk about. I'll give you another case, and here's discussed Mufurish Tiktois. And Simon Kufayne says, what happens, let's say, I would want to rent out the apartment to a cousin of mine, a young couple, who would keep the apartment in relatively good shape. The fellow who's been in the apartment the last 3 years had, Kenai Nahara had twins last year, and he had another pair of twins this year. The apartment is going to get a lot more wear and tear this year than from the new couple that I would move in. Over there, even if the rental is the same, over there I stand to lose significantly by renting out the apartment, by keeping on renting on the apartment to the fellow who is there then. That would be called a loss that would not be mechayiv me to renew the rental with that person. Again, it might be the right thing to do, but Chazal weren't mechayiv it as halacha l'maisa. Vasisa Yashu Natoyev, again, we're saying it could be enforced in a bezdin, even though it sounds like only Lefnim Meshuah Zadin. Why is it Lefnim Meshuah Zadin? Because it's my property, I have a right to do what I want. As far as strict halacha d'oraisa is concerned, I have a right to give the apartment to whoever I would want to give the apartment to. Chazal were mechayiv, and Chazal made this enforceable in a bezdin, that I have to deal with the person next door with a special midah of kedima. I have to deal with him with a level that goes beyond Yashu's. Rabbi Hirsch, in his Pirush al HaTorah, this pasuk says, "Vasisa hayosher." Hayosher is the straight and narrow. The Mesillas Yesharim calls the sefer Yosher. Mesillas Yesharim. There's a level of toiv that goes beyond Yashus. Yashus is the straight and narrow. So I have a right. It's my apartment. Why can I give it to whoever I want? Chazal said no. There's an imperative over here to think about what's toiv. What's ultimate good? Ultimate good is dealing with somebody else. Ultimate good is not only standing on my right. Ultimate good, and over here, Chazal enforced it. There is a case where Chazal were mechayiv a person to go lefnei Meshuah Zadin, that's Chedina de Mametzer. Where there is a case where Chazal were mechayiv a person to keep the halachas of lefnei Meshuah Zadin, but they did not make it enforceable in Bezdin. This is the halacha of an Aveda Be'ir Shuruba Akum. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia Chavdal, we know, that which Aveda, if somebody finds a lost item, somebody's walking down the street and he finds a 100-pound note. Can he pick it up? Can he keep it? Can he not? So we have the whole Perek El Metzius talking about the halachas of Yush. When is the Yeh Yush? When is the Nat Yush? If it's before Yush, I can pick it up. If it's after Yush, I'm sorry, I can pick it up. If it's before Yush, then I'm mechuyev to return it, since I already picked it up and I was mechuyev to do the mitzvah. What happens if I pick something up in a place, in a locale, in a neighborhood, that's Ruba Akum, that's mostly Goyim over there? The Gemara says it's a basic assumption that we could assume that anybody who lost something with is mostly Goyim is Miyayish, and therefore I can take it. So I'm walking down the street in one of the neighborhoods in London, which is primarily populated by non-Jews, and I find a gold watch. Can I keep it? Strict halacha, yes. Chazal say, the Chachomim amechayim me, even though strict halacha would say that the watch belongs to me, I'm mechuyev to give it back. Now here's an interesting wrinkle on that halacha. The Ktzois tells us, The Ramah tells us in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Aveda, that even though this would seem to be only a halacha lefnei Meshuah Zadin, which in this case, the Gemara says is not enforceable, it's not like the above mentioned din of Bametzer, which is enforceable in Bezin. Over here, we leave it up to the finer feelings of the individual involved.
I don't know who it belongs to give it back to.
Right, but let's say I put up a sign. Well, let's say somebody claims it 2 days later. Or let's say I know in shul, I hear somebody talking about a watch and he describes it properly. I know the watch is who it is. Well, let's say it has a name on it. I find a wallet with a driver's license. I'm sorry? No? If he's miyayish, then strict halacha would say that the item no longer belongs to the person who lost it. I would not have to give it back. If only the halacha of the Lefnei Meshuah Zadin and says, yes, you have to go beyond the letter of the law.
And if he comes and says, give some money?
I'm sorry? Again, simonim is only if that would be a cause of my not being yayish. If I found something, so the simonim would say that since you know that it was lost in a Jewish neighborhood, so you weren't yayish, you didn't give up hope, because you know that Jews are generally honest, and you'll be able to claim it. But if it's in a neighborhood if it's found in Finsbury Park, are you assuming that just because you had a driver's license in the wild, you're going to get your money back? No. In that case, you and me Aish already. In that case, the chavetz doesn't belong to you, it's hefker. If it's hefker, I don't have to give it back. But lefnei Meshuah Zadin is mechayiv me to give it back to you. Over here, Chazal, we're not mechayiv, the Bezdin will not enforce giving back. But the Ktzoi says that there will be one case. If the local law, the Dina de Malchus Adina, would be mechayiv giving back that item, The Ktzoi says that Dina de Malchus Adina would take the Lefnim Meshuas Adin imperative from just the level of beyond the law and it would make it the law itself. Even though Dina de Malchus Adina would not, Dina de Malchus Adina as a rule does not overturn halacha, but over here where Chazal wanted you, the halacha is your mechuyev to do it anyways, over here the Dina de Malchus Adina would make it enforceable and invested. That's an interesting step beyond what normally exists in this halacha. Again, normally now. I'm sorry? Right. Me'ikra Adin, the Chedis no longer belongs to you. It's as if it's Hefkir. It's as if you were Mafkir. But Lefnim Meshuas Adin, Mechuyev to give it back. Over here also, let's go back to the first thing we mentioned. Lefnim Meshuas Adin is not Mechayev, a person to give up what is his. Lefnim Meshuas Adin is Mechayev, a person to understand that not every profit he has to hold on to. When I buy an apartment, The Torah was mechayev me to give it up to the fellow who has more to gain because he's the next door neighbor of the preceding owner. Over there, I'm not losing anything by not having that apartment. I'm going to get my money back. But all I'm doing is I'm giving up. I maybe would have profited by buying that apartment at a cheap price. I'm mechayev to give away my profit to somebody else who deserves it more. Over here also, it wasn't coming to me. It wasn't something that I earned with a day of hard work. So over here, I'm mechuyev to give up that veda, even though rightly it should be mine, I'm mechuyev to give it up because there's somebody who previously owned the chayfetz. Even though me'ikra didn't, he wouldn't own it, but I'm mechuyev to give it back to him. And like we said, the din d'machus edina would make this into proper halacha, and Bezin would enforce it. A similar concept is the concept, which is also well known, kayfin al midas toim, which means that midas toim is to not, like we say in Yiddish, not to fagin anybody anything that he didn't pay for, to let somebody have any type of profit or gain or benefit from me that he didn't pay for, and I stand on my rights and I say no, you're going to pay me for somebody parks in my parking spot where I wasn't planning on parking. Somebody had a chassan and he parks in the spot. I've been out of town on vacation and for 2 weeks he has a free parking spot because he knows I'm out of town. So he parks in my driveway. So I lost absolutely nothing. He didn't take my parking spot. Chazal over here said, "Chayfin al midas toim." Since Zen Nene, Reuven had a benefit, but Shimon loy chasan. Shimon lost absolutely nothing by the fact that Reuven parked his car, that he had a convenient parking space in his driveway. So the halacha is that he's not allowed to charge him for the driveway, even though a driveway theoretically is something that one charges for. Sometimes people rent out a space if parking is at a premium. The halacha is that since over here he didn't lose, he's not allowed to. He's not allowed to charge him in lemafre. In retrospect, he's not allowed to charge him for that benefit that he had. Now, again, over here also, the Chazal would not mechayev me as halacha. Maybe in the spirit of generosity, yes, but as halacha lemaisa, Chazal would not mechayev me to be a doormat. They weren't mechayev me to give up that which is rightfully mine. If somebody wants to come into my house. Somebody wants to move into my house for a Shabbos. Am I mechuyev? I'm going away for Shabbos. Somebody wants to move in. So he comes to me. He comes to me at the door. As I'm leaving for Shabbos, I'm leaving for a long weekend in a different neighborhood. Somebody knocks by the door. He says, "I'm coming in. Zenanev zelachoser. I'm not going to pay you rent." Wonderful. True, the halacha would be that if I lost nothing by him being there, again, very often there's wear and tear in the apartment. That's not called not losing. But if there was absolutely no wear and tear in the apartment, then in retrospect, Lemafre, after he had lived there for 3 days, I would not be able to charge him rent because I lost absolutely nothing. Chazal did not allow me to charge rent on something that I had absolutely no loss and only he benefited. But Lechatchila, when he's walking in, am I mechuyev to let him walk in my house? No. That would be considered that I'm mechuyev to remask in my property. That I'm not mechuyev to do. A parking spot might be different because there's no intrusion on one's sense of self from allowing somebody to take a parking spot. Why would he let somebody take a parking spot? But to let somebody walk into my house, when I know that somebody's just walking into my house and Machtze Chaimish is just letting himself in and he's making himself at home, that would be considered a violation of one's sense of self. I wouldn't be mechuyev to do that. But if he had lived there, somebody in Yerushalayim recently asked me, a Shaila, about he has an apartment out of town, he has a swimming pool, some kids jumped over the fence and used the pool while he was gone for a week. Could he charge in retrospect for that use of the pool? So I told him, if that if there's wear and tear to the pulley, and say if you have to change the water, you have to change the fluorine and the filter, etc., etc., that would be considered loss. You'd be able to charge then, the halacha says, in Cheshavish, Putsim, and Shlis, Sama, Gimel, you'd be able to charge for the whole usage of the pool. However, if there is absolutely nothing, if you wouldn't be planning on changing the water, there's a self-filtering system, so then I'm afraid you can't charge. But of course, you could tell them, L'chatchila, not to go in. Because that would be considered a loss of sense of self. That you would not be mechuyev to. You would not be mechuyev to take sitting down.
If they do, can you charge?
I'm sorry.
If they still do.
If they still do, then you can charge. Taisus in the Master Dafid Bey says that since they intruded on my, they violated my space. They violated my sense of self. Even though I told them that I prefer them not to be there, that would be considered a loss. As much as wear and tear would be considered a loss, as much as changing the water, the filter, etc., would be considered a loss, and over there I would be allowed to charge them.
To charge rent or to charge your losses?
To charge rent. To charge rent. That's a chiddush, how that works. Since it's loichoser, then it already becomes not midistoim. Once it's not midistoim, then I can already charge proper rent. That would be the halach. Again, a parking space, laniyas daiti, is different, because in a parking space, there's the midistoim. Is lechet kula? Why shouldn't you let somebody use the parking space if you're out of town for 2 weeks? I'm sorry. True. Very true. Very true.
Because if there's a sign saying no parking, then you've already identified the
No parking, I think, is just a way of saying, is just a way of identifying that normally you use the space. But if you're out of the country for a month, is there any violation of sense of self when somebody takes a parking? But that lechatchila of coming into a house is a violation of self. Lechatchila of taking a parking space, there's no violation of self when somebody takes my spot underneath the office for a parking spot. I don't think that no parking spot, the no parking sign, identifies that act of taking my parking spot as a violation.
It's when I'm there.
I'm sorry?
It's when I am there.
Right. I think that's the mindset of the no parking sign. There is one case in halacha where we do look at loss, and we are mechayev a person to take a loss. That's the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Pei Gimel that talks about somebody who hired. The Gemara says that Rabbi Baba Chana, one of the Amiroim, hired a porter to schlep furniture across town. It was furniture. It was heavy klicheres, and the porters weren't 100% careful, and one of the pots fell down and broke. Over there, the Gemara says he went to Rav, and Rav was mechayev him to pay, not to charge them for the pot, as well as paying them for the day's work. And the Mefarshim explain over there, why would that be the case? If I hire an accountant, and he doesn't get the work done, and he doesn't do the tax work right, and because of that, the tax authorities fine me £20,000, am I mechuyev to pay the accountant for work that wasn't properly done? Of course not. Since we're talking about hard physical labor, and there's minimal pay, so the Chazal expected you to extend yourself. Generally, the person who is doing the schlepping is in a worse financial position than the person who is paying the money. Chazal expected the person, the employer, to extend himself and to pay. Again, today, what would be the gedarim of what's called hard physical labor? I don't think a plumber coming to a house who, let's say, who fixes a toilet and it's not fixed right, I don't think is considered that category. That's not hard physical schlepping. It's just work. It might be manual work, but it's not hard physical labor, and it's better paid than what a porter was paid in the times of Chazal. Would a moving truck be the equivalent? It's not clear. Movers are paid at a more handsome rate than porters were paid in the days of Chazal. So this halacha might be almost not relevant, but my point is...
Wasn't that only because he was a kavar not for a regular person?
That's the pasuk of the Gemara, but the Rishonim say that no. The halacha is the pasuk in... But I think that's the halacha l'maisa for everybody. Yeah, but you're right. The Gemara does say that, but l'maisa, that's not the halacha l'maisa. The Shemim say that the halacha l'maisa is for everybody. So these are some of the halachas of the Sisa Yoshiva Toiv. What's binding in halacha? What Bezdin does enforce? What Bezdin does not enforce? Like I said, Rabbi Hirsch says Vasisa Yoshiva Toiv. Rabbi Hirsch explains the concept over here that there's two imperatives. In living a Torah lifestyle, there's an imperative called Yosher. Person mechuyev to keep this dalek helchin shulchan aruch. Person mechuyev to keep to the letter of the Lord. Is mechuyev to do what it says in shulchan aruch. That's what an erlich yid is, somebody who asks, and what the Rav tells him, it says in shulchan aruch. That's what he's mekay. However, there's something beyond that. That's called toiv. Very often, a person could live b'derech ha-yosher. But if he doesn't have an eye, Yosher is the path that a person travels. Mesilas Yishor. Toiv is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to be Mizabik and Toiv, to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. If a person goes into the workplace every day, and his eye, believe you me, it's difficult enough to keep all the halachas of Chesh Mishpat, as we all know. We don't even have to talk about Lefnim Mishur Sadin. But what helps us put the right perspective, the right spin on what's going on around us every day when we go out into the world is an understanding that we're not just here to be Hoylich B'derech Yosher. We have an ultimate goal in mind. And that ultimate goal is called Toiv. Toiv and Toiv al Toiv and Toiv al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That ultimate goal is Dveikus B'Hashem. And a person has to understand that Dveikus B'Hashem is not only when he's sitting by a Blat Gemara, not only when he's sitting and hearing a Shir, not only when he's putting on Talis and Tefillah in the morning by davening. Dveikus B'Hashem is taking the Dvar Hashem, taking Halacha, and bringing it into every facet of his everyday existence. I always have this feeling when we get up from Tisha B'Av, there's the Lucha Shnir, this is in this week's Parshas, in Parshas Vos Kama. What is the Torah teaching us with that? There was a Lucha Shushanis, there was a Lucha Shnir. After we get it from Tisha B'Av, there's some type of new, we have to approach Torah with a new angle, with a fresh approach. What is this fresh? It's a Lucha Shnir. Kilo, this week, when we come to Shabbos Davening, we re-accept Torah. What is this re-acceptance of Torah? What is it? What is this Madura Basu, the second coming of the Torah, that we re-accept this Shabbos? After Tisha B'Av, when Yid realizes how far away he is from true Hashras Hashkina, from living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a really, really meaningful, powerful way, what a person is mechuyev to do is he is mechuyev to look for ways to extend himself in order to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu more into his life. And one of the best places in the world for that is every day when a person goes out into the business world. It's normally understood we don't mix business and pleasure. We don't mix religion and business. Business is business and Yiddishkeit is Yiddishkeit. And the place, the biggest nesoyin, and yet the biggest rewards in leading a fulfilling, real Torah imbued life, is by bringing the Rabban Shah, bringing his Torah into the workplace. Not only in Halacha, and that's what Chazal extend in order to give us a training program, and how to extend ourselves, how to understand that the money we earn is kulay there from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is kulay there in order to be used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shlom gives us, Chazal gives us a training program called Vasisa Yoshev HaToiv. Yoshev HaToiv is going beyond what's Yoshev, to be Mizdabek, to have our eye on the ultimate goal of Toiv. There's a very interesting parallel that the Chassidish and Svarim point out. The same way Ayid, Leil Pesach, imbues all the messages that the Rebbeinu Shlom wants him to take into his system. Leil Pesach, he eats the matzah. There's the matzah which is connected the oini of Mitzrayim, the shibud of being in Eved Hashem. There's the matzah which is cherus, saying any cherus al leben teira, al misho esek bateira. A person eats three matzahs, he imbues teira values into his system, and then he has 7 weeks, which we call Yemei Asvira, to bang that into his everyday life, to take those ideas, those three ideas of Pesach, Matzah, Morah, and to make that part of what makes him tick, to make him. To turn that into a hecher mensch, turn that into a higher human being. The same parallel that Chassidus Shusman point out, we have 3 weeks of Ben HaMitzarim. The 3 weeks of Ben HaMitzarim is a training ground to think, to imbue, to feel what we're supposed to feel what Yiddishkeit is supposed to be able to offer us. The different messages, the different ideas, what it means to live B'Kedusha V'Tara, what it means to live that this world is here for us, is an arena for Kiddush Hashem, what it means that this world is given to us in order to fill ourselves with Kedusha, to live in this world but with an eye towards Olam Haba. We live in this world, we don't negate this world. We live in this world and we take part in this world, in all of life's activities. But we have an eye on the prize, we have an eye on the Toiv that lies at the end of the Mesillas Yesharim. There's a prize called Toiv, that's called Olam Haba, that's called Ultimate Dveikus V'Hashem. And we take these 3 weeks and we imbue it in the next 7 weeks, and this is called Shiva D'Nechemta. The Shiva D'Nechemta is where we take the ideas that hopefully we gleaned over this period of mourning of Avelus, of Ben HaMitzarim, and we take it with us and we turn ourselves into different people, and the 7 weeks go to Rosh Hashanah. And that's why these 7 weeks are before Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah, when we stand in front of the Rebbeinu Shlom on Rosh Hashanah, we give a reckoning how much did we take the ideas of a Beis HaMikdash, of Torah, of Kedusha, of Matan Torah. How much did we take these ideas and how much did we become part? Were we Nisach, and how much did we become one with these ideas? This is the ultimate goal. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyat Deshmaya, that we should use this period of the next 7 weeks L'tayelas, l'mutav, to train ourselves, and that little Beis HaMikdash that's inside all of us should be built successfully, and that, in Yitzhak Hashem, should bring down the Beis HaMikdash. Mishamayim.